point. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the transcendental topics of the personality Godhead and his pure devotees. In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. Therefore, hearing the topics of the Lord and hearing of the character and activities of the pure devotee have the same result, namely the development of devotional service. Om Agyanatamirannasya Gyananjanasalakaya Chaksurunmilitanjena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Svapitantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganaragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Tam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishapanu Sutadevi Pranamami Aripriye Vancha Kalpataru Vishcha Kripasandhu Bevacha Patita Nam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavbhyo Namo Nama. So what I wanted to do is, because it's about, this inquiry is about Svayambhuva Manu and about hearing process. This hearing was covered so nicely yesterday by Vrindavan Chandra. And I just wanted to go a little bit to text 12, the beginning, and then we can come as far as where Svayambhuva Manu and Satyarupa, they make their appearance. So as we know, Lord Brahma was invested with the multifarious energies by the Supreme Personality Godhead. So with this energy, he was creating in the beginning, he was thinking of the living entities being the material world, independent of Krishna. And it was mostly to do with nescience and nothing trans. Then he was thinking about how the living entities are forgetful and how they're in illusion. And it was all negative things that he was thinking about. And then the sense of death and anger, lust, greed, all these things. This was in text 2 of the 12th chapter. So he felt a little dissatisfied and disappointed. So he went into a little meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because it was in the mode of goodness, and his thoughts were very pure, and then the four Kumaras appeared, manifested. So when the four Kumaras manifested, because of his thoughts being centered around the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these four little boys were very pure. They were 4 or 5-year-old brahmacharis, completely renounced. And Lord Brahma asked them to progeny, go to the material world and start the population. And it's not normal for children to disobey the parents, especially if the parents are providing them with food, shelter, clothing, education. And if a son refuses to follow instruction, sometimes the father becomes angry and he disowns the son, or he takes away the inheritance or something like that. So here Lord Brahma became very angry. These were his four sons and he's giving them instruction and they don't want to follow. So through his anger, he was so angry with the four Kumaras and they left, they were renounced. And between the eyebrows came Rudra. Rudra means one who cries. And because of his anger, they were filled with a mode of ignorance and passion. And Rudra was asked to create again progeny in the material world. So, but the first son's renounced and the left, and then this son was like taking the law in his own hands, so to say. So he started destroying the planets, going on destroying all the planets in the universe. So Lord Brahma got very concerned and brought him back. And he said, this is not the right time for dissolution. We haven't even created yet. He was actually spoiling the systematic arrangement of the Supreme Lord. It was supposed to be creation, maintenance, and dissolution. But Lord Shiva, Lord Rudra, was doing it back to front. So he was pulled from his service. And Lord Brahma said to him, okay, you should go to the forest, sit down quietly, and meditate on the Supreme Sankarshan. So in this way, Lord Brahma understood that he need to shake shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because when he feels dissatisfied and unhappy, he takes shelter of the Supreme Lord and he gets inspiration from within. Sometimes we need to contemplate and reflect and do the same things. Things may go wrong, and sometimes independently we think from our own strength we can get it right. So prayer is very, very important in our life. We have to reflect and take shelter a little more of the Supreme Lord, and he will definitely reciprocate by the way he is reciprocating with Lord Brahma constantly. When he's dissatisfied, he thinks of the Lord, he gets new inspiration. Again, he does something wrong, he meditates, he thinks of the Lord, and he gets inspiration. So it's guaranteed, actually it's guaranteed. As you're making advancement in your devotional service, you're hearing, chanting, and you have a clear vision about how you're going in life. You can see Krishna's hand in everything that you do. So when Lord Brahma was dissatisfied with Rudra, then he went into another meditation, worshipping the Lord. And then when he came round to consciousness, the 10 sons made their appearance, the 10 sages. And the 10th one was Narada Muni, was actually blessed by the Supreme Lord himself. He was the master. Narada Muni was the master of all transcendentalists, and he was blessed by the Supreme Lord with the transcendental sound vibration to glorify him constantly. So this was, now he was like the transcendental spaceman, actually. So, we're just looking at my notes here. So in spite of all the great sages, there wasn't any progeny in the material world. So Lord Brahma was thinking, how can we increase? So he understood this was the destiny. So he absorbed himself again in contemplation of the supreme power of the Lord. And then this is the story now whereby the question is being asked, what did Svayambhuva Manu, the dear son of Brahma, do after obtaining his wife, loving wife? So in text 52 of 12 again, Lord Brahma understood this was destiny. And then when he meditated, these two forms were generated from his body. One had a mustache and the other one had swollen breast. So the two newly separated bodies united together in sexual union relationship. And the male was known as Svayambhuva, and the female was known as Satarupa. And they had 5 children as well. three daughters and two sons. So Prabhupada says in the purport that with this history of creation that took place, all the planets were filled up until now from this from Satyarupa and Svayambhuva. So we're going to just read in Canto 8 how a little bit more about Svayambhuva Manu. Svayambhuva Manu, the husband of Satyarupa, was by nature not at all attached to enjoyment of the senses. Thus he gave up his kingdom of sense enjoyment and entered the forest with his wife to practice austerities. Srila Prabhupada says here, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam emam rajasya vidu. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. All the Manus were perfect kings. They were Raja Rishis. In other words, although they held post as kings of the world, they were as good as great saints. Svayambhuva Manu, for example, was the emperor of the world, yet he had no desire for sense gratification. This is the meaning of monarchy. The king of the country or the emperor of the empire must be so trained that by nature he renounces sense gratification. It is not that because one becomes king, he should unnecessarily spend money for sense gratification. So yeah, it's very clearly stated that that the king should give knowledge, you know, knowledge, and that our knowledge should come from a disciplic succession, not from anyone. So the kings in today's life, there's speculation, and because they are not ruling according to Vedic scriptures, then everything is chaos. So Srila Prabhupada has made it like talking about the supreme science was received through the chain of disciplic succession. Prabhupada is very, very kind to us. He's given us everything on the plate, actually. We have the Guru Parampara, and right down to Srila Prabhupada. And this Guru Parampara is coming directly from Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma is connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So this is how Srila Prabhupada is given us this. He's given us books, he's given us temples, he's given us deities, everything that we need, and there's no lack. So we have to so very carefully take shelter of this knowledge that Srila Prabhupada has given us. So, an association of devotees as well. So if we hear, yesterday Kartik Chandra Vrindavan Chandra went into detail about this hearing process. Out of the nice process of devotional service, this hearing is so vitally important. And we heard from text 48 how this transcendental sound vibration as Sabda Brahman, non-different to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it purifies the heart and cleanses the heart, like Lord Chaitanya, the first Sikshastakam prayer is Chaito Darpanam Marjanam, purifying, cleansing the heart of all impurities. And how is this done? To the chanting of the holy names. Prabhupada, time and time again, and even in the Bhagavad Gita, the chanting of the holy names are mentioned. And it's so vitally important, this chanting is so vitally important that it opens the gateway to the spiritual world, actually, because it cleanses their heart. As soon as we chant nicely and the impurities dissipate slowly, little by little, then there's a chance of getting a little taste for hearing. The hearing process is vitally important because it pierces the heart and help one makes advancement in Krishna consciousness. Most people, when it comes to hearing, it's very difficult. It's easy to see the deities associate with devotees, take prasadam, as he was mentioning yesterday. As soon as, when there's a festival or anything, as soon as we mention there's a lecture or class, then people just like leave, you know. You have to have a taste. So in this way, we have to understand that association of devotees doesn't only mean a one-to-one physical association. You can be in the association of devotees through reading the books, through distributing the books, through chanting, through hearing, all these things, the association of devotees. I was just looking at what Prabhupada was giving a talk in, not this Monday, last Monday, and he was talking a lot about the Guru Parampara, actually. He said, person who hears directly from Krishna, we have to follow that person who speaks it. Srila Prabhupada says, whatever his spiritual master said, he heard directly from him. And how would we understand what his spiritual master said to Prabhupada? Only if we hear Prabhupada, then we'll understand what instructions he got from his spiritual master. So Prabhupada is explaining, just like that, we cannot understand Lord Chaitanya directly, as Rupa Goswami said, so we accept what the six Goswami are saying to us. So we're reading from acharyas, from previous acharyas, from present acharyas, so we can get the knowledge that we need to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we accept Krishna is absolute, not different from his name, form, quality, and pastimes. Sometimes I find it very difficult when it's explained that Krishna and his name are non-different. How is it? It's very difficult, inconceivable to understand this. But we take it from as an order from the spiritual master. Gradually, if we practice this process of devotional service, then Krishna within the heart and external, the spiritual master, would give us enlightenment and realization how to understand these things. They're inconceivable. So Srila Prabhupada is also explaining how Krishna is on the absolute platform on that same day last week. That was in LA, he was giving the talk on 1:15:30. And he was saying that Krishna can be wood, Krishna can be stone, but he's still complete. But we have to have that faith. We have to have 100% faith that Krishna is absolute. He can be anything he wants. He can be a boar, he can be a fish, he can be a lion. He can be anything he like. There's no question. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, after all. And we are forgetful. And when he was speaking to Arjun, he was saying to Arjun, I spoke this Bhagavad Gita before so many times. You have forgotten, but I remember. He remembers everything. So by the mercy of Krishna, a little fraction of mercy, one can understand the Supreme, not fully. Even the demigods cannot understand the inconceivable potency of the Lord. And we got to have example, Lord Brahma. He had direct contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was blessed with having the personal darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word avyakta means unmanifested form, unmanifested, the spiritual world, which was shown to Lord Brahma. And the manifested form is the living entities. But Lord Brahma was so kind, he made the unmanifested manifest to the living entities, which means the Sabda Brahman, this chanting of the holy names, pastimes, he's Krishna's form, and Krishna himself comes to display all his pastimes so we can understand his absoluteness. So Prabhupada says, here we take the words from Lord Brahma. Because of his knowledge, because of his association, because of his connection with the Supreme. But big, big scholars, they can't understand this. The yogis, the politicians, they give interpretation on the Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada said this is all rascaldom because they got no knowledge of any shastra or any scripture. They give their own speculation. So this faith, Rupa Goswami explains that we just need a little faith, this real faith, Shraddha, understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The more one increases, the more one advancement with association of devotees. And Prabhupada explains that we always have to keep in the association of devotees. When you're in the association of devotees, everything is warm. But when you leave the association of devotees, then it becomes dark and you're in a dark place. So stay in the association of devotees always. So I just took Brahma Samhita, whereby Krishna's glories are magnified. It's in Brahma Samhita 533, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda. Is that it? It's explained that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnation, Advaitam, Achyutam, and that's a different one, right? Nadamananda Rupam, Adyam Purana Purusham, Navayovanam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to the mundane scholars. So I just want to read Bhagavad Gita about conviction, how we have to be have such strong determination, faith, and conviction that this process works. If you have that, nothing can break you, nothing can shake you. And of course, the chanting of the holy names, is the main priority in our life for purification. Okay, this is beautiful. It says, one who is factually convinced, this is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 17. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this, there is no doubt. So, only if one is convinced of the opulence of the Lord and his mystic powers, then only we can render devotional service. Purport is beautiful. Prabhupada explains, the highest summit of spiritual perfection is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is firmly convinced of the different opulence of the Supreme Lord, he cannot engage in devotional service. General people know that God is great, but they do not know in detail how God is great. Here are the details. If one knows factually how God is great, then naturally he becomes a surrendered soul and engages himself in devotional service of the Lord. When one factually knows the opulence of the Supreme, There is no alternative but to surrender to him. This factual knowledge can be known from the description in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, similar literatures. In the administration of this universe, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, there are many demigods distributed throughout the planetary system, and the chief of them is Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the four great Kumaras and other patriarchs. There are many forefathers of the population of the universe, and all of them are born of Supreme Lord, Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original forefather of all forefathers. These are some of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. When one is firmly convinced of them, he accepts Krishna with great faith and without any doubt, and he engages in devotional service. All this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in the loving devotional service of the Lord. One should not neglect to understand fully how great Krishna is, for by knowing the greatness of Krishna, one will be able to be fixed in sincere devotional service. So first of all, we have to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, that statement is used so many times in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, and all other scriptures as well, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that from him comes everything. Everything is created. He's the first creator. Lord Brahma is the secondary creator. We know that. He takes all his instructions. Lord Brahma takes all his instructions from Krishna himself, the Supreme Lord. And if he's dissatisfied, he's unhappy with anything, then he takes shelter of Krishna. But still the demigods sometimes are bewildered. Even though they have such high positions and they have darshan of the Supreme Lord, still there's forgetfulness. What to speak of us in this material world? There's always forgetfulness, you know, in mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mixed, you know, modes. There's always a question of this. So you can see by the example where Lord Brahma, even though he had direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still in the pastimes of Krishna, he was thinking, who's this little boy? You know, who's this little boy playing with all his boys, this little coward boy, is thinking he's someone great and he's proving like he's God. And he, you know, tested the Supreme Lord by stealing the coward boys and the cows. And another incident with Lord Indra as well. He was forgetful of the Supreme Lord's position, and he wanted the worship of Govardhana for himself. Who is this boy that's, you know, putting obstacles on the path of my glories? And he sends torrents of rain, samvaka clouds, and all sorts to devastate the residents of Gokul. And Krishna so kindly protected his devotees. We have to be convinced of this. I love this. I was reading in the little calendar. I have this thought for today. Not so long ago, I was reading, Prabhupada was saying that if we, as devotees, in times of difficulties, we pray to Krishna and we say to him, we talk to Krishna, we say to him, my dear Lord, you've given me this difficulty, this problem, but you are so kind. You've given me a token, just a little token. I was meant to suffer much more than this, but you've given me a token. And Prabhupada said, if we pray like this every time we go through some crisis in our life, some suffering, some pain, then you're guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. I thought that was a very, you know, absolute statement to say that. That actually means that you don't see dualities in the material world. Prabhupada said, as soon as you see dualities in the material world, then suffering starts. If you think, if you have, that there's no question of not having pain and suffering in this material world. As long as we here, as conditioned souls, we have to have that experience because we've been here millions of lifetimes, inconceivable times we've been around. So even as devotees, if we undergo pain, suffering, adverse situations, and we're thinking that this is due to my past sinful activities or whatever the case may be, I am put in this position, but it's for my own benefit. Krishna is kind. He's given me this for my own purification so I can go closer to him. If we keep thinking like this, then we make advancement in our own Krishna consciousness. We get realization. We get a broader vision of understanding, not fully, but at least developing some of the 26 qualities of a devotee. And we are able to be kind, be able to appreciate, have compassion, and give this knowledge to others. So in this way, we've been blessed with so many nice instructions by our own spiritual masters and Srila Prabhupada, our grandfather, and Lord Brahma, our great-grandfather. So in this way, we can, move forward in our Krishna consciousness. I'll just stop there. I don't want to waffle on and on. 25 past, we've got 5 minutes for questions. We can have a little discussion if anyone has anything.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a nice class. You mentioned the four sampradayas. Mm-hmm. Are this the only way that we can approach Krishna through these four sampradayas?
The four sampradayas. We in the Brahma Madhava Sampradaya, that's our teaching, that's what Srila Prabhupada gave us. And we follow what Srila Prabhupada has given us. He's given us Guru Parampara from Srila Prabhupada going up all the way to Lord Brahma. So it's easier to follow that Sampradaya that was given to us by Srila Prabhupada. I'm not very well-versed with the other sampradaya. There's Sri Sampradaya, South India, Tirupati, the Sai. Then there's Rudra Sampradaya. There's four sampradayas, right? The other sampradayas, Madhava is, we follow that Madhava, Brahma Madhava Sampradaya. Nimbarka, yeah. So I'm not very knowledgeable with all the other sampradayas. I just follow what Srila Prabhupada has given us, the Guru Parampara with, Lord Brahma, Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. What actually did you want to know about?
Because when we preach to people, should we say that our way is the only way, or that there are four sampradayas that either... any one of them can take you back to Krishna?
Yeah, they can. Of course they can. Our way is the only way is preached by the Christians, actually. There's no question is, every living entity in the material world can make advancement. Prabhupada quotes from the Bible a lot. He says, he said, Jesus Christ... He was an innocent man, and he was persecuted, and he was crucified. Look how cruel, the demons are if they can crucify an innocent person. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Bible, you can read the Bible, it says this. Forgive them, for they know not what to do. But they changed it, the Christians changed the Bible. So, and even the Ten Commandments, the third commandment reads, Thou shalt not kill. Are they following this? See, they changed it to Thou shalt not murder. So we don't say ours is not the only way. Even amongst the Hindus, you've got the Saivites who worship Lord Shiva. I got two sisters who worship Lord Shiva, and they worship the light, and they think they can merge. This is like Brahmavadi, the Mayavadis. They worship the light, and they think they can merge into the light. So there is other sampradayas, but you can make advancement. It's like follow the river, and you come to the sea. So if you take small steps, you can make advancement. Then someday you will meet a self-realized person. Then he can impart the truth. Tadividhi pranipratena pariprasnena servya. So if we somehow, through the mercy of the Lord, we approach a bona fide spiritual master, they can give us knowledge. And only if we're ready, if we're ready. If not... We can worship the demigods, we can be a Muslim, you can be a Christian, you can still make advancement in any path of life. This is the nature of the material world. Even if you're doing pious credit and you don't understand Krishna, you're building schools, you're building, you are building charity institution, you're helping the poor, that's a credit as well. You can make advancement from there. Through your pious credit. Anything? Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, was that okay, Subhadra? Oh, thank you.
Yes. Any sampradaya we can go back to Godhead, as long as it's bona fide sampradaya going back to Lord Krishna. But a Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya is special. Why is it special? Because Lord Chaitanya came in it.
Mm-hmm.
And only by Lord Chaitanya's mercy can we go back to Goloka Vrindavan. And whereas the other sampradayas, if they don't accept, there's a quote in the Bhagavatam, I don't know the exact words, but it said if you don't accept Lord Chaitanya, then you can't go back to Goloka Vrindavan. You can go to Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
So we are special in,
yeah.
In that sense. So of course, we don't preach.
You don't preach, yeah.
Because when you go back to Godhead, you're completely satisfied whether you go to Vaikuntha or wherever you go.
Yeah.
But Lord Chaitanya came in our one, which makes it special.
We accept
Lord Chaitanya's words and we get his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
We go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So that's the destination for Vaishnavas, really. Because that's what Lord Chaitanya taught.
Right, he opened the doors of love of Godhead, didn't he?
The love of the gopis, the highest.
Gopis, yeah. Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
My question would be, Brahma and Shiva, and the other demigods, they're always glorified as the greatest devotees. But then there are also examples where they fall to material nature. But then there is Haridas Thakur, for example, who doesn't fall because he's so fixed on Krishna consciousness. So my question would be, how can Haridas Thakur be so good at Krishna consciousness and the demigods not?
My understanding would be that there was no pride with Haridas Thakur. He was taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the demigods, they have some pride to say that they think they're on the highest platform or they're on the absolute platform. But Krishna is very kind. He just gives them a lesson. He teaches them a lesson because they're very dear sons, of his. And they've given a post. They've delegated a service for him and they're very intimately connected with the Supreme Lord. So if Lord Brahma makes a mistake and he asks for forgiveness, then he gets forgiven and then Lord Brahma would glorify the Lord. Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, any of these demigods, they make mistake, they repent because they taught lessons. Okay, thank you. Is that okay, Pramaniba? you got something else.
There's different categories of demigods. Lord Shiva is not an ordinary demigod.
Yeah.
So when you hear these things stored in the scriptures, you hear about Lord Shiva apparently falling down. It's not really a fall down like an ordinary conditioned soul.
Yeah.
He's just, Krishna's putting him in that situation to be an example to show us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you get different levels of demigods. Forgot. And even Lord Brahma is not an ordinary demigod in a sense, he's the highest, he's a pure devotee. And it's just, his fall down is just a temporary glitch, just to show us, Krishna's showing the living entities, giving us a warning.
Right.
Anyway, that's my understanding.
Yeah, you're right,
and
because
Harikasaka was an incarnation of, who's the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Brahma? Yeah, so Brahma's in there in Haridas Thakur's personality. Lord Brahma's there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we read about him falling down, but when he's Haridas Thakur, it doesn't fall down. So how can we... So they're not... Those demigods are not ordinary demigods.
Exactly, because Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that Lord Brahma chasing after his daughter is not something ordinary. It's for us to understand this is what happens in the material world.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
This is exactly what happens in the material world. This is how Prabhupada says that if this can happen to the demigods when on such an elevated platform, what to speak of us in this material world, you know? So this is the teaching, basically. We cannot see a fall down on the part of the demigods. They are all there to teach us lessons.
Especially the top demigods.
The top,
there's
yeah.
Different, there's three, tripasta, it's called, there's three levels of demigods. The lower ones are the Maruts. So Lord Shiva... He's above. He's not even considered a demigod.
Like yogurt and milk, isn't
he? He's almost. Well, he's almost the same as the Supreme Lord.
Mm.
Right? One sense, he is. Vishnu.
Yeah.
But there's a difference. Examples given of milk and yogurt. There's a difference, but at the same time, it's similar.
Simultaneously, one and different. Anyone else here? This you wanted. Very humble.
I was wondering, can we go to the spiritual? Do we need Krishna Prem? Do we have to have Krishna Prem in order to reach the spiritual world? And so, why did Prabhupada say, if you distribute my books, you'll go back to Godhead? Like that, if we haven't got Krishna Prem, is it still that case of special mercy just? Without even having Krishna Prem, is it? How does it work?
You distribute my books, and you'll go back home, back to Godhead, which means you 100% absorbed in your service. It's not like you're doing book distribution, then after that you're doing some other activities. You know, you take your consciousness away to something else. You have to be engaged fully, absorb yourself in the service. Of course, you cannot go back home, back to Godhead, if you like doing service and also engaged in sense gratification. Purity of heart is very, very important. Consciousness, you know. You're conscious of all the activities, devotional service. And if at the time you're distributing books, and you leave your body, and you're thinking of Krishna, of course you'll go back. Or they say you'll take one birth in Krishna's pastime and then go back home, back to Godhead. But Krishna says, whoever thinks of me at the time of death will surely come to me, you know. So, anyone else, anything?
Okay. Prabhupada said, you read my book, distribute my book. What he means is, if you do that, then you're Krishna Prema, then you go back to Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Prema, you can't go back to Godhead.
Yeah, you can't get it overnight, though. It's a process that you have to undergo, just not
yeah,
like
Krishna
one.
Krishna can give it to you at a time of death, just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah.
Hare Krishna, so you spoke about purifying the soul and cleansing the heart, and like through things like chanting is a way. But how does that process work within oneself, and how does one know that the heart and soul is being purified?
How will you know?
Yeah, what is the process that's happening within, and how does one know?
How did the process... How you know it's working is you want to do it again and again and again. It's working. Because if something is cleansing you, if something is purifying you, you want to do it. You feel internally satisfied for what you're doing. You feel happy within for what you're doing. And as you increase gradually, then this feeling of doing increases as well. And you feel happy within yourself. Krishna reciprocates. He's seated in within your heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows. He's seated within it. But if it's genuine, if we genuinely chant, we genuinely hear, we will get the reciprocation. Hearing is beautiful. When you hear something and it touches your heart, it becomes tasteful. So when Arjuna said to Krishna, please speak more, I want to hear more. And Krishna said to Arjuna, oh, you're tasting now through your ears? So we relish Krishna Katha. Just through hearing the sound vibration, Sabda Brahman, transcendental sound vibration. As soon as it enters the heart, purification takes place. And gradually, as we're getting purified, we want to increase our service of hearing and chanting. The more we chant, the more we become blissful. Well, when you're not following the 10 offenses, you're making offenses, like one of the first offenses to blaspheme devotees who dedicated their life to the propagation of the holy name. This, the 10 offenses, if you make any one of the offenses and you're trying to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then the process is a little slower. Sometimes it's nice to sit down and look at the 10 offenses and ask yourself, which am I following and which am I not following? So in this way, we get to know whether we're making advancement or not. The first one is very difficult, to blaspheme devotees. Sometimes, without thinking, we talk about devotees or we criticize like that without thinking. That's a very difficult one. To see demigods as on the same level of Krishna, no, we don't make that mistake so much because we read the philosophy and we understand. To disobey the orders of the spiritual master, yes, we do that sometimes. Sometimes we, if it's beneficial, if we're happy, we take this instruction, and sometimes we don't. To blaspheme the Vedic literatures, well, we don't do that. So, I mean, I'm talking for myself. I can't see myself doing this because I got Srimad Bhagavatam, I got Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, there's no so much blasphemy there. And to chant, to see the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra as imaginary, that's not so much. I don't see so much that as an offense, because why would I be chanting every day, you know, if I think it's an imaginary thing? And I'm addicted to taking my bead bag and chanting my rounds. If I think it's in my head, it's an imaginary thing. Krishna won't give me that. strength and the power to pick my bead bag and chant. I'm not doing it. We should. If we're chanting rounds, we're chanting more rounds, and we committed, we surrendered to chanting the holy names. Shivaram Maharaj once said, advancement in Krishna consciousness comes when your hand is in your bead bag, you know, chanting japa. It's very powerful. This age, the chanting of the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, is so powerful that we miss it. Prabhupada only built the temples, brought deities, got services for devotees because he wanted them to clear the minds and their heart so they can chant the Hare Krishna mantra to go back home, back to Godhead. So never underestimate the power of the holy name. Only when you do it, you will realize how much benefit you're getting and how close you can get to Krishna. Is that okay? It's a long-winded one, but...
Yeah, I don't think we have more time for a back and forth, so I'll leave it as that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I take example from very strong rock-like devotees. Taruna is done in the japa, 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 every morning without fail, round Tulsi Dev. It's amazing. When you see devotees coming day in and day out and so convinced and so much conviction that this process works and they keep chanting, you get inspiration and you think, I have to do this for myself. So thank you very much for listening. Shantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Teach, Srila Prabhupada.